Spectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Do you know, I missed a trick here, you know. I've just played Dave and Ansel Collins and Double Barrel. What I should have played was Renny and Renato and Save Your Love. That would have been perfect, wouldn't it?
No, not really. I've been trying to escape that for the best part of 40 years.
You know you're never going to escape it here. Yeah. Phil Jordan's in, council leader. How are you?
Ian, good to see you in this new year. I'm okay. I'm great, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on at the moment. I don't know really where to start, but I think top of the list is devolution.
Yeah, devolution's pretty current now. A lot of information to give out, a lot of misinformation being given, a lot of disinformation as well. Some reason it's become, kind of quite political, actually.
And it shouldn't really, should it?
At all. And the misunderstanding is unhelpful, because actually, it's quite positive. Yeah.
Am I right in thinking that this is something that was bounced around by the last Conservative government, and now this Labour government are seeing it through?
That's absolutely what happened. And under Conservatives, the previous Conservative government, about 40% of the country, England, are under devolved power arrangements already. What the Labour government have done in July, and this gets no secret, they put this in their manifesto, told people for the year leading into the election for last July, they were going to do this. And since they were elected in July, they've just speeded it up. I mean, hugely speeded it up. They're determined, and they're going to deliver devolution right across the country.
Okay. Let's fire a curveball at you. Because I know you're an honest chap. You're a decent chap as well. When you first got the details that came to you and you looked at it, what was your first thoughts?
My first thoughts were, this is a great opportunity, this. What better than having some of the powers down from Westminster, so that we locally, we could be whoever the we are. It could be this island, it could be the local Solent area, but locally to start making decisions about key strategic things, you know, trains, buses, rail, network, housing, a whole range of things that at the current time government decide on. So my first thoughts was, well, this is better. But and Ian, why wouldn't I do that? Because what have we asked for and put into our ask of government? Ferries.
Yeah.
Under the transport powers that are going to devolve, we said to government, we want powers over the ferries. So, you know, I can see those opportunities. That's not to say government are going to agree with all this, and there's a bit of a negotiating task to go on with government, but we're in there, we're going to be in there, and we're going to be pushing hard for these powers. And then in addition to those powers, of course, we don't know the money, but when you look around the country at other devolved areas, the money that those areas are getting, substantial over a substantial period of time. So we could be looking at in the area 30 to 60 million a year additional funding for 30 years.
Well, that sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it? I mean, I asked the MP recently, one of them.
Which one?
Yeah. Richard Quigley. Yeah. I said, surely there's only the same amount of money that goes round anyway, so how can it be different? But it sounds like it is.
Well, so in terms of... So let's look at the island. So we'll continue to get our funding for an island. Maybe we could talk about that in a little while, about our ask of government for better funding, fairer funding. In addition to that, this is additional money. I understand your question. I've heard it elsewhere. Is where's the extra money coming from? Well, one of the ways that it's going to come from is reorganisation of the country into unitary authorities. Now, remember, we're a unitary authority.
Right.
So in broad terms, and I'll come on to this in a moment, in broad terms, that won't affect us because we're already a unitary. We don't have to become a unitary. But Hampshire and Southampton and Portsmouth are not, and they are potentially going to have to absorb the district and borough councils. That tier of government is going. and the costs of that will be part of the funding. I imagine, I mean, I'm not in government, but this is what I imagine, the money that's saved by the district and borough council tier of local government will be saved and used for some of this. But it's about regenerating and investing in your area, that if you put money into these things, the benefits come out in all kinds of strange ways. You start to take care of yourself locally, not depend on government for that money. So we, you know, we'd like to see a regeneration of the island in ways that suit the island. Yeah, that doesn't mean, you know,
and we're not in control of it.
And we're in control. Well, we will be under devolution.
Well, I mean, you paint a great picture, and to me it's common sense. I mean, I was one of those people that back in 2002 organised a march into London with 21,000 signatures saying that we wanted, and handed this over to Tony Blair, we wanted to be independent of Hampshire, Portsmouth, Southampton, statistically, so we would get more funds. Mm. It never happened.
Yeah.
The strange thing is they sent a government minister, Alan Johnson, who said, his exact term of phrase, "You'll never get that, sonny. But if you wanted a fixed link, the government would listen."
Yeah.
It's funny how things have changed.
Yeah, different governments, different times. 20 years ago, nearly 25 years ago, actually, things have changed. They do, they move on quickly. There are different views, different approaches, different people. And you have to, that's interesting you say that, Ian, because what you have to deal with in the role that I've got is deal with how things are, not how you want them to be.
Yeah.
You can have a plan to have them how you want them to be, but you've got to deal with what it is. And government have, in speeding up their ask of devolution, putting some tight time frames over Christmas, for example. So I got a letter from Jim McMahon on the 16th of December, and bless him, he gave us until the 10th of January to ask for the fast track, the priority programme for devolution. 23 days, had Christmas in between, staff holidays, New Year. Had to get legal advice, draw up meetings. There are legal rules around meetings. You have to give 7-day notice. It was almost an impossible task to get our ask in on time. But we did that thanks to hard work of our council staff, our officers.
Well, there is an element of, I mean, I look at it from this both sides. I look at it and think, crikey, they want to get through this through Christmas time. What are they sneakily trying to get through? But I also think, why should it be a problem at Christmas? Why are there so many people off for longer than they should be at Christmas time? So you got it done, which is the main thing.
Yeah.
But let's look at what other people would say from the other side. They're saying, oh, we don't want this. Why are they saying it, and what are the pitfalls? What are they seeing that is a negative?
Yeah, very good question, Ian. So if I can understand that alternative narrative, if I can, I think the first thing to say is people at first believed devolution was a merger or an amalgamation with Hampshire and Southampton and Portsmouth. That's what devolution is, I think. Of course, devolution isn't that. Devolution is a strategic partnership that sits above that. And under devolution, if you create what's called a combined authority of the four authorities, in our case, that doesn't change your local council. The local council, the Isle of Wight Council, would, under devolution, remain exactly the same. So would Southampton, so would Portsmouth, so would Hampshire. So I think people are concerned about that, rightly so. I would be concerned about that, more than concerned about that, as somebody living on this island with my family and invested here, and speaking for as many people as I can. We'd be concerned about it. But that's not happening. That's not what's happening. So I think those concerns got caught up with another thing that government doing alongside devolution called local government reorganisation. Now, that is something slightly different. That requires all areas of the country to be a unitary authority. So that doesn't affect us again, as I said a few moments ago, but it affects other places like Hampshire, Surrey, Sussex. Many, many counties that are not unitaries are going to have to convert to unitaries. Now, what government did was they had an idea about what the size of those unitaries should be. And in their first paper, and bear in mind, here's another problem that's going on and unhelpful to the listeners. This is a moving feast. So government are changing and adapting as they go along. So they started out in the letter in 16th December. They want unitary authorities and they want to be 500,000 population. But of course, the Isle of Wight's not 500,000, it's 140,000. So the other areas of the country, so let's just talk about Hampshire, Southampton, Portsmouth, but all the other areas are the same, had to start thinking about, under local government reorganisation, how they could increase the size of their local authority. Now, what's happened is people are confusing devolution, which isn't that, with local government reorganisation. That's caused problems, confusion in people's minds and misunderstanding. We've been promised a letter from Jim McMahon from government by the end of this month, probably next Monday, that will set out more details about reorganisation. But it's very clear in the white paper and in Jim's letter to me that there are exceptions to their guidelines. So I think two things are going to happen, Ian. One is they're going to soften on the 500,000. I think you'll find that when this comes out in a short period of time, a week or two, probably next week, you'll find that that number has softened. It may be nearer 300,000, in my view. And secondly, that the exception to those guidelines, we will make the case for the Isle of Wight to remain as is, as an exception. And to assist us in that, already the leader of Southampton has written to the minister, copied us in. I've published that letter that explains very clearly Southampton believe the Isle of Wight must remain as is. And I can tell you from a meeting yesterday with the three leaders of Hampshire, it's Nick from Hampshire, Lorna from Southampton, and Steve from Portsmouth, they all agree and are all committed to paper to explain to government that the Isle of Wight will remain as the Isle of Wight Council, as is now, into the future, forever, as far as we can see, at 140,000, unchanged.
So we're waiting on this letter.
Yeah.
And when everything stems on this letter, then. If that doesn't, I mean, when you said the figure that he might weaken to 300,000, well, yeah. we're half that.
Yeah.
So he would have to weaken to 140,000. Yeah. I mean, say the whole thing stems on, you know, whether or not he's going to do that.
Not in the letter, though, Ian. Sorry, I might have conveyed the wrong impression. The letter is going to set out more guidelines for the reorganisation. We have until March to write to government with our plans for reorganisation. Well, our plan is no reorganisation. Our plan is the Isle of Wight is an exception. It will remain the Isle of Wight as is. It won't be merged with any other authority. And our three neighbouring authorities, Hampshire, Southampton, Portsmouth, will be saying exactly the same thing. That will be our ask of government. We are an exception. We're a unique island and we're going to remain it.
Seems a common sense approach.
Yeah.
How do other islands up and down the country, are they approaching this in the same way?
We're so special, Ian. We're so special. which other island is like the Isle of Wight? Isle of Scilly's got, I think, 2,400 residents, something like that. It's small. I think they're talking to Devon or Cornwall. They may be involved with that. Which other island is there? I mean, Anglesey's got a bridge. It doesn't really feel like an island. I mean, there aren't. That's why the island is. That's why we're going to be an exception. It's why we're a special case. It's why we keep telling government we must have more money. We are special.
So if nothing's going to change in that way, why would, if, I mean, this has not been decided yet, and obviously I think this is where a lot of people have become, maybe they've got something to say about it because it's political. Why should there not be an election, a local election this year?
So the election is entirely tied to the fast track priority programme. Now, government understand this. Jim McMahon, the minister's an ex-council leader. He personally knows the problems of local authorities and councils. So government have asked for this by January 10th for submission if you want to be considered for the priority programme. Now, in the end, 39 local authorities have chosen to do that. And those 39 authorities are planning to create 13 devolved areas. Without getting political, before the 39, which was on the final day, 13 of those councils asked for deferment of elections. 11 of them were conservative-led. That's irrelevant, what the political party, but the point is there's a cross political party understanding that this is going to happen, it's got to be done. So what government said is, tell us by January 10th, because we're going to do devolution anyway, you know. But you tell us by January 10th if you want to do that quickly. And by quickly, government mean by May 2026, so 1 year from this May. Do you want to do that? Because we'll help you do that. But they also recognised, of course, that if you're doing that, because of electoral laws, councils can't be involved in things during an election period that are not, in inverted commas, business as usual. And clearly devolution and reorganising is not business as usual. What that means is you lose the entire election period where you cannot be talking to government or the public about these things, because that's what election laws tell you, the electoral laws. So government understood that, and they're determined to get devolution through as quickly and into as many areas as they can in the country. So they said, if you want to do it quickly, we will put the legislation before Parliament that allows us to do that, and we'll put the legislation before Parliament if you need to defer your elections for 1 year. So the election issue is tied to the priority programme. It's not a standalone. If we could do it without deferring the elections, we'd still do it. But we can't.
Legally.
We can't
do it legally.
Well, we can't do it and talk to government. Therefore, and therefore, what government will have said, well, you're not really committed to doing this quickly, are you? Because during that nearly 2 month period, 6 to 8 weeks, you can't talk to us.
Yeah.
You can't talk to us, so you're not really committed to doing it quickly, are you? Because if you were, you'd be saying to us, can we talk to you for that 8 week period? Well, yes, government would have said, of course you can, that's what we want. But you've got to defer your elections to do that. So there's a misunderstanding there that it seemed to be that we're seeking to defer elections. We're not. We need to defer elections because we're seeking priority process for devolution.
Does it also mean that later on, because at the moment we've got certain places up and down the country are having elections at different times. You know, that we're having elections this time, not everybody is up and down. Is that going to bring it all into so everyone will have their council elections at the same time in the near future?
Well, different areas are different. Not everyone's asked for deferment of elections. But let me talk about the Solent area. You're absolutely right. If this, and it's a big if, because this is another misunderstanding. The leader, I hear, is cancelling elections. Well, of course, the leader's not. I don't have those powers. The council's the council's not cancelling. We don't have those powers. Only government have those powers to cancel or defer elections. So that's the first thing. In the Solent area, if they're deferred, there's no guarantee they will be. There's no guarantee we'll be on the priority process. But if that happens, the four elections will all come together with the mayoral elections in May 2026. Now, that may be a good thing, may not. I don't know. But that's what will happen.
So the mayor elections.
Yeah.
This is where I look at it and I think, okay, is this where we could lose a little bit of power because that mayor is obviously going to come from somewhere else on the mainland?
Well, we don't know that. Because there are no governance details arranged yet. In all the meetings I've had over the past year or so with the other leaders of the other councils, we have not once discussed governance because it isn't part of our ask of government at this time. We very soon have to start talking about it. But if you look around the country, you'll see there are different arrangements for mayors. But here's the thing. Government are going to do devolution. I have to keep saying this because they're going to do it. You're either, yep. You're not out of devolution, you're in. It's the choice we've had is, do you want to do it quickly or slowly? If you want to talk about the benefits of doing it quickly, we can.
If you want to drag your heels, it's going to be difficult for you.
It's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I get that.
And we're going to get forced into it at the end of the day. And that's because Hampshire, Southampton and Portsmouth had already decided they're going to do it quickly. And Hampshire has asked for deferment of their elections. So they're going ahead. What government in the white paper spoke about was white spaces. Now, that's government speak for areas of the country that are not in a devolution arrangement. And what government have said is, we will not allow white spaces. Now, that equals, at the end of this all, any areas, say the Isle of Wight, that have decided to drag their heels, government will come along in 1, 2 or 3 years' time, probably 2 years' time, and say, you're not in a devolution area, therefore you will join the Solent devolution area. That's our ruling, because we are not going to accept white spaces, areas that are not in devolution. You don't want to be forced into it after Hampshire, Southampton and Portsmouth had a year discussing with government what they'd like and the money they'd like and how they govern it and what the mayor can and can't do. You don't want that. We want to be at the table when those discussions are going on. We want to be saying what we want for the island. It's because we're at the table, Ian, that we've managed to get the ferries written in black and white into our arse of government. We want powers over our ferries. Because we're at the table. If we're not at the table, Hampshire's not going to go to government and say, oh, by the way, while we're here, can you just put the ferries in? Of course they're not. They're not bothered.
So the alternatives are, we could bury our heads in the sand and ignore what's going on, and probably, you know, we make a song and dance about it, and it ain't going to benefit us. But in the meantime, other people are playing political games. That's what it sounds like it's happening. And I don't understand why they're playing political games, because, let's be honest, as we said at the outset, you know, it was the Conservatives that were wanting to push this through, and it's the Labour that got elected, and they're actually doing it. So it was their idea, and they've just they're just pushing it through. So that, to me, is common sense. The other thing to point out is, if we're not doing elections this year, we do actually save money from that as well, don't we?
We do. We looked at this, funnily, you tell that. I didn't realise, but each election for each ward is about £4,500 to £5,000. We've got how many wards? 39 wards. Wow. So if you multiply roughly 39 by 5, £200,000.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, we shouldn't, you know, overlook the fact that it's democracy, and this is what people voted for. But at some point, we have actually got to be brought into line so that everyone else is having their elections at exactly the same time as us. Isn't this a perfect example? But what are the pitfalls? What's the worst thing that can happen here?
I guess the worst thing is we government won't come up with the kind of money we're going to be asking for them for the devolution deal. I guess the pitfall might be they might say, well, transport, yeah, you can have the buses, the trains, ferries, we're not sure about. That's a little more complicated, Phil. Maybe we'll talk about that one. So I think that's a pitfall. So I think the powers that government are willing from the outset to devolve is a pitfall, and the money. I think they're the two key pitfalls.
Okay. So with Keir Starmer saying, like last week, coming out and saying, you know, it's positive stuff when it comes down to the ferries, you would think, isn't it? I mean, he's come out and he said, you know, something needs to be done. Yeah. So you would think that, you know, they know what's coming in a minute. If he knows about this deal that's going on down here, you know, he's probably going to be saying, well, I'm not going to say anything like that because I don't want you holding that against me when you don't get what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course he knows about this here. And I think that's a very good point to make, Ian, because sometimes we're quite insular on the island. Islanders can be quite insular. But parochial, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way.
We don't like change, Phil.
Yeah, we don't like change.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, we do argue our uniqueness. But it can be detrimental because government do know what's going on here. They do watch and do see us. I've been up to see the minister, Mike Cain. He's the maritime minister. Mike's coming down. I invited him down and he accepted, which was brilliant. And he's coming down shortly. I haven't got a date yet because his office will arrange that. But he's coming down. So Mike, come down and see what the impact ferries have on our life as an island, the economic constraints that it provides, the cultural constraints, the well-being of people. And it's, I'll come down and see it. I know our MPs continue to press and push government, including Mike, to take this very seriously. Joe managed to get a question in, got that answer from Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, really helpful, and it will help our case.
Look, I'm looking at it simply. I'm 60 this year.
You don't look it, Ian.
I do.
Are you done?
I've been here, you know, all my life, more or less, and the last X amount of years, you've seen us going to decline in certain areas. And all I would say to people is, if you're happy with that decline, if you're happy with being at the back of the queue when it comes down to funding, if you're happy with that and what you've got and the factories that you know, that we once had that have shrunk in size and so on, if you're happy with that, then you bury your head in the sands and don't want change. I look at it and think, surely this is a positive thing, being at the table, looking into someone's eyes and saying, well, why aren't we getting that? You tell me why we're not getting that and why you think we don't need that. If you've got that opportunity to do that, you can fight your corner, which is a good thing. And I think, why wouldn't you go for that? Why? What have you got to lose when it comes down to it? I'm fed up of being in the back of the... When we apply for funding, and I'm sure this is the same for everyone else, they always say, you're oversubscribed on the Isle of Wight. Yes, because there's a need. There is a need. There's a huge need. And so many people are out there that are doing things that we do, you know, and they're organisations that have been going for years, helping people in our areas, our community. And they're being told, you're oversubscribed. Well, that says everything you need to know, that we're not getting the funds that we need. Not deserve, it's what we need. Some of these places can't do what they're doing. And surely, if they can't do what they're doing, then that people will struggle. And so if you're happy with that, is what I say, then you carry on, you bury your head in the sands and you do what you've got to do. But this is change, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it will be change for the better. So when will we find out? When will we know?
So in terms of devolution and that additional funding, additional powers, we will know by the end of the month if we're on the priority programme. If we're on the priority programme, it's full speed ahead for the next 12 months, negotiating with government the devolution deal, what it looks like, what powers are, and how much money we can have to do that. And and amongst ourselves, that's the four authorities, we'll be talking about governance.
Okay, look, I will say this, because I know you wanted to talk about budget as well. So I would say to those people that are thinking, oh, you're postponing the elections, no, you're not doing that, you've already explained that, and people might have the ump about that. I would say to those people that are against it, I would say, look, and I'm being totally honest now, if in 12 months' time you don't like what's happened, there will be an election, and if they don't like what you've done, you won't get elected. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So you're putting your neck on the line. You're putting your careers on the line here. And I would imagine that anybody that's doing that, I guess it's honest of them to do it, because that 12 months, and you know, it'll go like that. Yeah. And this time next year, you might be wicked out of it.
Yeah. Ian... thank you for that. You're absolutely right. Just let me just remind people listening this. If we're not granted the priority programme, and we'll know by the end of this month, if we're not granted that, elections go ahead anyway.
Right.
Election, you know, you have to remember that.
It's out of your hands. You're not deciding.
It's out of our hands.
Phil
it's,
Jordan is not, like, you know, making a decision and deciding.
He's not, and neither is this council. When I read some comments on social media, I'm beginning to think, am I a bit like Donald Trump or Putin, this sort of autocratic leader that turns up into County Hill and makes these decisions? It doesn't work like that.
Now you've brought it up, can I ask this was my stinky, not a stinky question, a difficult question.
It's all right.
It's, I mean, we all know that, you know, we've got a number of local medias, and they're all reporting. County Press, Echo, On the White, Observer. They're all doing their job, and they're all painting a picture. Is it really that toxic between councillors, or is it not as bad as that at all? Because it just comes across as everyone's fighting, everyone's arguing with you because you've got a different colour to me. And I look at these people and I think, you were elected to do the best for the island. All I can say is that it's like a car journey. You're all going to get in your same, all going to get in your cars, and you're going to go from A to B. You're going to cut each other up. You're going to do what you can to stop them from getting to where you want to go first. And I think to myself, why don't you just all get in the same car, talk about your differences, because at the end of the day, you were elected to do the best for the Isle of Wight. And you having a fight and trying to wave your willy around, trying to sort of say, hey, I'm bigger than you and I'm better than you and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Hang on a minute. You know, that's what politics is like in Whitehall, not locally. Take the politics out of it, because we've all got something in common. The one thing in common, the island.
Yeah.
We love it. That's why you did what you did.
Yeah.
That's why you stood. And everyone else too.
Ian, I'll amen to that. You're absolutely right. It's not Westminster. We don't need Westminster in our council. You would be surprised if you realise how much work goes on with the cooperation of people behind the scenes. The council is probably 90% cooperation behind the scenes and 10% full council meetings, public meetings, where people use the opportunity as a theatre stage to make their points. And they're entitled to do so. And look, opinion's fine. People's opinion, we take on board, we listen to and accept. Where it gets difficult, Ian, with people's opinion is when the opinion is misinformed or ill-informed. So the opinion is formed in a person's mind on information that's incorrect. And that's where it gets difficult. Truthfully, I'm being truthful and open and honest with you, and as I always try to be anyway, there's a lot more cooperation than you imagine goes on. This morning at 8:30, I was in a meeting with the leader of the Conservatives, the deputy leader of the Conservatives, and one other senior member of the Conservatives, 8:30 this morning, for an hour. And we were discussing ways that we would move this council forward on certain issues. I won't go into the details. It was a private meeting. But that sort of thing goes on. The public don't see this. They don't see me in a meeting at 8:30 on a Tuesday morning or a Monday morning, even having those discussions with others. I do it all the while. I meet the other leaders. I meet other councillors all the while. But when you get into full council, what the public see is a piece of theatre. I don't like it, Ian. Most of the councillors don't like it. There are some disruptive councillors who become disruptive in our council. They are not the majority. Far, far from it.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Look, we're run out of time, unfortunately. I could talk to where did it go? Half an hour. I mean, so but then when you think you're having a conversation about devolution and council reorganisation, you can't do that in 5 minutes.
No, you can't.
You can't do it in half an hour. I'm hoping that, you know, the people are a little bit more switched on with it, and I don't think it's rocket science. It's just made complicated because the two are coming together. Yeah. At the same time, that was one of my questions. Maybe this is the last question.
All right.
Should it have come together at the same time? Was there something that you look at and think, yeah, is this a little bit like arm up your back and so on? Or is it a case of, no, it's just probably the best time to do it together?
Yeah. Reorganisation, devolution shouldn't have happened together. That's a mistake in my view. But as I said to you earlier, you've got to deal with what you've got. And it is happening together, so we've got to deal with it. And we will make our case about an exception. This Islands Council is not going to change as long as I'm walking and talking at these meetings. It is not going to change.
You got the island's interests at heart. Is what you're saying.
That's why I do this here.
Yeah, sure.
I don't
that.
Do this for me. It's not about me. I can go away. I'm of a certain age that, you know, I can do something else. I do this because I'm invested in the island. My family live here like yourself. I want the best for the residents, the people, the community and our island. That's why I do what I do. Not to make people angry or think that, I can't do what, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about and all that stuff. The opposite is often true. I spend so much of my time, and I spend a lot of time on this job. If you go talk to my wife sometimes, she'd like to come in and talk to you about how she never sees me. But
I'll invite her next time,
then. Well, that'd be interesting. Maybe we'll do that. Yeah. Hey, have I got a minute to say, because we've spoken about all this stuff, great, and thank you for that. But for yourself, what a fantastic, in 2 days' time, anniversary of your what you started here is coming up. You're such a great shining beacon for this island, for what you've done in the community. And I know lots of other people tell you that, and they do on Facebook and social media. But you know what? It's great. It's been a journey for you, and something that had you not done it, it wouldn't have got done. Thank you, Ian.
No, thank you. I mean, I got a good team of people around me that shared the vision, and it's you know, it's other people like yourselves and other councillors in the past from all colours. Mm. They've all, you know, chipped in and supported, and that's what a radio station is. A community radio station is a community radio station where it's all going to chip in and do some stuff, and hopefully people will do more in the future, and it will keep it going, which I'm sure it will, because we're going to DAB later this year.
Fantastic.
How was that? How did we get back and talking about me instead of you?
Well, what I was just thinking,
Phil.
I was just thinking,
I really appreciate it.
Just finally from me, I guess, I couldn't do a lot of the stuff I do with such a full diary without somebody to help me manage my diary, and without that I'd be all at sea.
One day we'll find out who that lady
is. One day we will.
Thank you, Phil. And hopefully, fingers crossed, just give us a time frame for what's going to happen for us to look out. Something will be announced next week, and that kind of has a domino effect for what then unfolds.
Yeah, big thing is letter from government before the end of the month saying yes or no to us being on the priority programme. If we're on the priority programme, there's still no guarantee even then, although we should know then whether the elections will be deferred or not. That's a different issue. But that's the key. If we're on the priority programme, it's full speed ahead into devolution talks with government, getting our best deal for this island. That's the time frames. Reorganisation is coming later in the year anyway. In the autumn, if we're on the priority programme, that's the autumn. If we're not on the priority programme, we will need to be discussing that with government and making our case as an exception before May this year.
Brilliant. Thank you, Phil, for taking the time and the trouble.
Pleasure.